in studio again.
I loved this.
I love seeing you. I love spending time with you. Mm-hmm. And today we are going to dive into a really special conversation about friendship.
Oh, one of my favorites. I love it. Love this topic.
Probably the number one conversation as someone who has spent over a decade myself and you too in serving with women, for women, alongside women. The wonder of friendships, how to cultivate them, how to have them. What does a friendship breakup look like? All these different things. We're going to talk about all the things today.
Good. All right. I'm ready.
So I would love to dive into, like, just right off the bat, you are a good friend, great friend to me. And if anyone follows you on socials, they see how much time you invest in friendship. Mm. It's a priority for you. Yes. And so share a little bit about that, about how you've cultivated friendships throughout this lifetime.
Yeah, I want to encourage women in that it wasn't just like an overnight quick thing. You know, when I was growing up through high school especially, I really had a challenge with women. And we've talked about this in our events and things. Like, the struggle with women is so real. You've got mean girls, you've got jealous girls, insecure girls. You yourself could be that. And so there's always these blocks to girlfriends and girlfriend friendships because of all these things. And so I kind of shied away from really investing and being close to girls in high school. I had good friends, but not in the way that I do now. And I think as I have been in my life going through difficult things or being in relationships where I'm like, guys don't get certain things for women, specifically just about our own needs, emotions, our monthly time and all of that, I realized as I was getting older, I need women in my life who get me, who understand what I'm going through. And so what I did, Anne, and this is something that I started probably 2 decades ago, was I looked at my schedule and I was like, I don't have a lot of time, but is there a way to put women together, small group of three, so there's 4 of us, that are like-minded, either from similar workspace, church, or the same interests, and meet together monthly to encourage each other. And I always thought 4 was good. 3 feels like one's always left out. 2 is very intimate, and I do like my one-on-one. Mm-hmm. But I felt like 4 was a really great number because you could go away for a girls' weekend, you could go and have dinner together and do something. It also could be a lively conversation, but it also could be quite intimate. Right. And so about 2 decades ago, I decided to go after that. And
you've been like 20 years? This is like 20,
yes,
2 decades.
I've been meeting with women for 2 decades.
This group of 4?
Different groups of 4.
Okay, okay.
And wow. I've done it where one was from my not-for-profit international development group. One, actually this one's more recent, about 7-8 years, where it just happened to be Loving Jesus Church Media. There have been others where it was like from my college and career days. And so what I did was I just very intentionally put people together, kind of invited the 3 together, checked out to see if it worked, and then have been journeying with these women very intentionally every month to every other month. And then a lot of these groups I do a yearly getaway. So we have actually gone away on trips like, you know, to Florida or to a spa or wherever else. There's a lot of intentionality. I've been married for 10 years and Chris is very affirming, accepting of it. He knows that matters to me for my own mental, emotional, spiritual well-being, to be with girlfriends who I can pray with and be with. And so it has many, many years of this. Mm. And, you know, it's not always been easy, and we can talk about that later on in the show, but what a benefit for me in my own growth, in my own life of change and midlife, to have these kinds of women and girlfriends even like you in my life, to be able to unburden myself with like really hard things and challenges, and also celebrate the wins of what I'm, you know, in my life. So yeah, I know it sounds like people are like, what? But it has really been that consistency, intentionality. And then I've really grown to like love women and girlfriends in that way. Like from my years of high school where I was like, no, I'm just gonna hang out with guys. I feel like kind of tomboyish Mel, and to now really like honoring, celebrating, my girlfriend relationships. It's such a gift.
This sounds like a lot of fun. And I know you bring the party when you're coming into those groups.
I do. Yeah.
So I hear you say intentional. I hear you say that you're the one who's kind of in all of these groups and you've cultivated this opportunity for these people to get together. You're the one who takes the initiative to bring everyone together.
Yeah.
And so why?
You know, Anne, it's partly for me, but it's partly for others. It's partly where I believe that women need one another. And sometimes it's very hard for women to invite, and I still encourage women to invite and to join in. But whether it's a God's gift in me or an ability, or I just love connecting women. And so part of it was actually me being the host for these women, because I felt that that's what they needed. And I felt for some, you know, what I love is I'm like, I meet this woman, I'm like, oh, I know a girl.
Yeah,
that would be great for her. Yes. And then I want to just connect everybody. Like, I know, right? Because you're the same. But it's that thing. I'm like, she'd be great. And so there's a part of that where I'm like, oh my goodness, they would be so great together.
Yeah.
And I kind of like match them together to be good friends. And then I've noticed a lot of my girlfriends are now good friends.
It's super
fun.
And
I love that. I do. And that's part of a motivation. I love introducing other friends to other friends.
I actually recently got a text from a friend who said, I'm going out for dinner with another two friends that I had introduced her to. And I wasn't invited to that dinner party. They went together.
Yeah.
And it actually... this is our wiring. It brought me such joy. I was like, yes, this is what I mean. You guys are meant to be friends. This is so good. Because we can be friends and we have all these different kinds of social circles, but it's fun to see other people connect too. What are some of your funnest memories of fun things that you've done with your friend groups?
Oh, how much time do you have?
Oh, come on. I know you're super creative with this stuff too.
Lots. Okay, so we have done, the trips to... in the day, like Florida, where we rented a like convertible Mustang.
What?
And had no space because we went shopping and had made way too many suitcases. Caught in the rain.
Oh, no way.
Awful, but amazing.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Cottages, hotels in Niagara Falls, Airbnbs in upstate New York, to just really beautiful dinners and patios, and to deep moments of prayer and tears. Cottages where we're just sharing our lives. A lot of it isn't necessarily the place that we're at. It's the people that we're together with and creating safe spaces for us to really share. Some of these women, especially women who are in leadership or are a face in Canada, some of them don't have safe spaces to really share. And so it is an honor. I feel like it's also an honor to be in this space with these women so that they can share vulnerably in safety and with trust what they're going through. And so I think there's another part and that motivates me to do this is to actually provide safe spaces for people. And I always count that such a privilege and honor to do that for women.
So I've had to have some really interesting conversations with friends. The trips are fun.
Yeah.
And those like longer times at the cottage, those are really fun. But the practical like day-to-day kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes there's an expectation that is placed on a friendship that is really hard to meet that expectation.
Yes.
Because our lives are full and we've got whatever. It's family, it's work, it's other things. We're on the go. Sometimes I'm not even in the city for weeks at a time. Like it's a different kind of thing, but we can pick up where we've left off.
Right.
And so, but I've had to have these hard conversations with friends to say, hey, I need some extra grace here. I can't show up like all the time.
Right.
And how have you navigated some of the struggles within friendships that maybe it's comparison or jealousy or drifting apart just naturally? Those are hard, right?
It is hard. You know, and friendship takes work and humility and grace. I haven't done it well all the time. You know, there have been times where I've been very like selfish in my time and expectations. And sometimes I've been not so understanding about others' needs, you know, and that's an honest thing. I would say in my friendships, there has been many conversations on realistic expectations on one another. Because you're right, I can't show up all the time. I want to be there for you. And there's been where I have a best friend now who we had a big blowout because I didn't meet her expectations. And we didn't talk for a good few years. And we kind of came back because I missed her. And we just needed to have an honest conversation. Now she's my best friend. But that was a hard conversation because it was about me not showing up.
Right, yeah.
And there's other times where, and the hard part of, I've had to end friendships too, and because the expectations were too big, it wasn't reciprocal, and I had to assess some friendships and go, you know what, I think this needs to come to an end, and had to have conversations. And those are hard, but I think, you know, for friendships, some are forever. I believe some are for a season. I believe if you don't work at it, they're not going to last. And so right. If one friend is really working at it and one isn't, then that's a bit of a recipe for disaster. I think in friendship, there needs to be very clear expectations and some boundaries. And if you're a good friend, you'll be open to hear this and hear, like, I can only do this. If I don't text you right back, it doesn't mean that I'm ignoring
right,
you.
Yeah.
It just means I'm really busy.
Yes.
And being honest about it. And then also having hard conversations. One of my really dear friends, there was a challenge, I think, last summer, and she took me aside on a patio and said, hey, I want to talk to you, Mo, about something that, you know, hurt me, that, you know, you did, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, and I just want to understand. And it was out of love. And so she talked to me about it, and I was like, yeah. And now our friendship's even deeper.
Like stronger
and
because
stronger
of those
because
combos,
of the honesty,
yeah.
Because of the trust, because she risked, right? Like, there's always a risk
yes,
in
yeah.
telling truth. But because she didn't love, it just made our friendship stronger. And so, yeah, I mean, when I say friendship, it isn't something light that
yes.
I go into or light that I just say, yeah, be a friend. It there's a deep commitment of reciprocity, of love, understanding, grace, forgiveness, all the things in any relationship. So sometimes when as I'm saying this too, it sounds a little exhausting because I have a lot of girlfriends,
yeah.
But it's so worth it. It's so worth it to invest in girlfriends and women to go the distance and to journey and do life with them. And we always say this, I'm so glad I'm doing life with you. I'm
right.
so glad we're on this journey together. That's
yeah.
that's a beautiful gift.
It is a gift.
Yeah.
It makes me curious to see what friendship looks like in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, Jesus calls us his friends.
I love that.
I think there's something deeper there. I think there's something that we might not grasp fully, that there's an intimacy to the word friend.
Mm-hmm.
There is this closeness in that word. You're not just people that worship me. You're not just these people, these, like, robots kind of
yeah.
that of creation that I've created. Like, it's not, there's this intimacy to friendship. I want to journey life with you.
Yeah.
I want to do this life with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's an invitation to do life with Jesus. And so what do you think this, like, Christian friendship looks like? Because I've got friends from every
yeah,
sort of walk
too.
Of life,
me
right?
Too.
What makes it, is there a difference with Christian friendship that's unique? That if we compare that to other kinds of friendship?
You know, one of the things that just came to mind as you said that is prayer.
Yeah.
It's this, I need your prayer. I need you to join with me in asking Jesus for direction, for hope, for helping me. There's something really beautiful about being able to go to a girlfriend and say, I need your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Or, girlfriends, let's rally. I need prayers. And I'm not... It's something supernatural. It's something, in some ways, you can't explain. It's just knowing that people are for you and are going to God with your concern. And at any time, I can just text and go, I need your prayer. And they're like, on it. You
yeah.
know, like
yes.
prayer hands. Is that prayer hands or is that high five
I thought it was high five hands,
yeah.
but we've been using
it
for prayer hands for a long time.
So high five and prayer hands.
They go together.
on the text, there is something about that. There is also something I would just say, and again, I have good friends that are not followers of Jesus, and they have
yeah.
been there for me,
yeah.
and I love them. And I have friends that are followers of Jesus, and there's something soul to soul, very deep soul to soul with them, understanding the depths of my relationship with Jesus that is so closely connected with who I am, how my life is going, what I'm doing, that is that is spiritually soul connected. And so I think that is one of the benefits of friendship with women who do follow Jesus and are doing their best and are very authentic and real about their relationship, that we can say, hey, you know, this is what I'm struggling with. And they're like, I've got some hope for you. Or this is what I'm struggling with. They're like, you know, Mel, in the scriptures, it says this, Jesus did this. Or, you know what, here's a promise I just want to read to you to remind you. Like, there's that kind of language and relationship and life that is, that comes with, I have experienced, you know, women that follow Jesus in my friendships.
Yes.
And prayer's a big one. Like, please go and talk to Jesus on my behalf.
Yes, totally.
Because maybe I'm not wanting to do it right now, or I'm really, like, laid out in fetal position. And they'll go, sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray.
It reminds me of Esther in the Bible. She went to her girlfriends, to the girls, you know, the people in her circle, her friends, it says, and she goes to them and she says, we're going to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to fast, actually. Yeah. It's like somebody to stand so closely with you in such a dark moment that is vital to your life. Like, it's like actually life and death situation. And she goes to them and they're praying for each other.
Yeah.
Or there's this other scripture that comes to mind. We know that in Genesis, God uses this language of Adam and Eve being like bone of marrow. She is bone of my bone. She is, you know, flesh of my flesh. It's used again in this battle situation with David and his friends coming around him. And it's wild. And he says to his friends, tell him, you're like bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Like, that's so united. To find that kind of friendship, I think, is rare in our current day of digital crazy, busyness, all of that. And so...
Yeah, and you know, I think too, it's... These friends didn't just come... Sure, some of them were from work. But I did have a moment with Jesus about my issues with women to transition into any girlfriends. And I prayed for good girlfriends. Like, I really did. I know people are like, what? Like, because, you know, a lot of women ask us across Canada, like, how do I find girlfriends? And I prayed.
Right.
And I was like, it started with one. God, just give me one woman. Friend, just a friend that I can just know, and she can know me, and I can trust, and, you know, and that was the start, because I was like, I've got some blocks about women. Like, I'm coming out of high school, going into university, and I'm like,
so hard.
I have all guy friends. I really did. I had all these guy friends, a few girlfriends, but like my closest friends were guys. I'm like, this isn't healthy. I need girlfriends. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to ask you. And little by little, in certain situations, I had my eyes open all the time, church, clubs, you know, that I was doing, whether, you know, I was doing the gym or doing like language class or whatever. I was always looking, you know, Christian university, church, all of that. And that's how it happened. That's how it started. Asking God. And it was very clear. He was like, keep your eyes open. Also have your heart open, because some of these friends may not be what you think.
Yeah,
but these could be women that actually could become good friends. Just stop with your biases and what you think you need, and how she looks and what she's going to be. Because if you look at my friendships, some of my closest ones, they're not like me at all. They're actually very different than me and very opposite of me. And, you know, God knows. God knows, you know. God knows the need and what you need in that place of friendship.
They're kind of like puzzle pieces. Every puzzle looks different, but the pieces look different, but when you put them together, it makes this beautiful collage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a good encouragement for someone that feels like they don't have friends right now, because that is a reality.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that high school student. I think about the one that's like the university student that is just starting out and making new friends again. I think about that young mama that is surrounded with her kiddos, and it just feels like a forever season, but feeling lonely. I think about the one that now is older. Like, my mom is like, it's like new friendships, because after losing a spouse, you're like starting all over again and trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And this is like a lifelong journey. of making friendships.
And it's the fun. If people get like, this doesn't sound fun, Melinda.
No. But you think it's fun.
Yeah, I think. But it is discovering. It is discovery. As we talk about like wonder and discovery, God opened me up to discovering amazing women around me that maybe I didn't even see. Like, wow, you know, at work, at church, the library. People still go to the library. wherever great. It is, God opened my heart and mind up to seeing, you know, women in the way that you created them, in your image, and I'll be open. And sometimes it doesn't work. Listen, there are times where I was like, invited a woman out to coffee. I'm like, this isn't really the thing. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, and then some you're like, oh, fine, I'll invite her for coffee. And then I come away like, wow, she's amazing. Like, it, you know, and so I think just the openness, opening yourselves up to the possibility of friendship is really important, and not closing yourself off to what you really need or think you need, but just, okay. And I think it's so needed, and because we're in such a time of this epidemic of like loneliness,
right, yeah.
And people are so isolated that more and more we need to encourage one another in friendship. And if you're lonely, it's like, then I hope this is an encouragement to take like a first step toward, okay, God, I really need friends. Help me see, you know, help me see the people around me. And then have the courage to, like, the other thing I have to say, this is the thing that is a little bit like, for me, is I'll hear women say, well, no one invites me.
Right, yes.
No
yes.
one invites me. Yeah. Nobody wants to be my friend. I always feel on the outside. And the question I always ask women, wait, have you invited? Have you opened yourself up? Have you invited women to your home? Have you asked? And they're like, no, I'm waiting for someone to ask me. And I'm always like, no. You know, be the first to invite. Be the first to ask. And the worst is that they say no. And right, then you're like, yeah. Okay, well, then I guess that's not the person. I'm going to try again. And just encouraging women to be courageous, but also to do also the inviting. And yeah. not wait.
Right.
Because that's the other challenge that I'm hearing and seeing from women who are like, oh, that's why I don't have friends.
I hear you. I hear you. You're know? Saying intentionality, take a risk, invite, yes. take the first step. Like that's all. That's very helpful. I think that there may be an expectation, like what you're saying, of like being in a certain group. Let's talk about cliques for a second.
Oh, yeah.
Cliques and little groups and whatever yeah. else, and wanting to be part of that. As a pastor for many years in a very big church where people were seeing cliques. I used to get this all the time. Oh, they're cliquish. They're in the lobby. They do this. They do that. I'm like, well, who's your group? But the longing seemed to be part of another friend group.
Yes.
The friend group that you're seeing post the pictures online that go away yeah. to the cottage or go to yeah. a dinner or go to. So this jealousy seeps in. You talked about Mean Girls or alluded to that at the beginning, that I cannot dismiss that as a teenage thing. That happens to full on
yes,
grown
true.
Women
yes.
that are, we're getting spicy here.
Yeah.
We're getting spicy.
Yes.
And that, and it's not kind. It's not generous with relationships. It's not open-handed, welcoming, and hospitable. And
right.
so what would you say to the person who feels wow. like they're left out?
I know. I think the first thing is what's inside of me that's causing.
That's really good. Yeah, go there.
That's causing this. Like, what is it in me that I'm looking and going,
yep.
and that I'm angry, I'm jealous, I'm all the bad feelings. What is it? Because if it is about me, I'll say this because I have felt this, and you know, people are like, no, Mel, you're always on the other side. No, I felt it. I have felt on the outside, especially in high school, in college, I felt on the outside. So I know this feeling. What I realized, Dan, is that when I actually examined myself, there were some broken things in me that I needed to work on, and I had to really work on that with Jesus, because there was deep brokenness in me. There was some trauma. There was some issues that were causing me to look at people with anger mm-hmm. and jealousy, because I think I was sad that I didn't feel that I was enough. I didn't feel that and I know it comes, and I say this, and this is very open, but I didn't feel worthy enough or pretty enough or enough. I started saying, oh, the reason why they're not inviting me or I'm part of the clique is because I'm not enough. I don't look like them. I'm not as shiny as them. And then I started sitting in that, and then that fostered jealousy, and then that fostered anger, and then it fostered all these feelings in me that actually created me in my mind to have these thoughts and then lash out and feel all the feels.
Oh, wow.
But it really was mm-hmm. in me. I was struggling. I was broken. I wasn't healed in some deep places. And because of that, I was projecting and lashing out in those feelings towards other women. I was absolutely jealous. I was absolutely angry because, wait, that's not fair.
Mm.
All those things. And you know what's interesting about that? The more I did that, the more uglier I got, and the more people said to me, we didn't want to be near you because you were projecting all this anger and rage and jealousy and
wow.
hurt, and we oh. could feel it, and we didn't want to be a part of that. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
So I think there's that. I think a moment of, okay, God help me in me and help me to be a healthy person, an open person, help me to, in my own jealousy and things, like God, like expose those things. And I had a journal and I'd write stuff out. And the more I exposed about myself, the more I'm like, oh, I don't want to be this person. Yeah. I want to be a loving person. I want to be that person I want to be. And so it's been a journey. I mean, I'm not the same woman I was 20, 30 years ago, you know, as I'm becoming hopefully more like Jesus. But in the end, I was like, what kind of person, what kind of friend do I want to be? I want to attract those kinds of friends. So I need to be the friend that people want
yeah,
to be friends
that's
with,
good.
Right?
That's
and then
good. Wow.
vice versa. So yeah, I would say that.
That's really beautiful. Thanks for going there mm-hmm. and being vulnerable like that. I think the heart of this is to help us be
yeah.
better friends
yeah.
and cultivate that wonder of friendship. That asking
yeah.
questions. If you're meeting somebody for the first time, you might want to have a few questions up your sleeve or, you know,
yeah.
just things that you want to kind of discover of that other person. We talk a lot about discovering God and being in awe and wonder of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God made that image bearer to also be in awe and wonder of who that person is.
Yeah.
And so discovery takes time and building that relationship takes time. I want to end off with talking just a little bit about how beautiful it is to work alongside your friends to build the kingdom and what that has looked like also in your journey. I know that in scripture, these girls, they do a lot of things together as I've been studying
yes.
friendship in the word, even to Jesus's tomb. It was a girlfriend group
That's,
that went together and said, hey, we're going to actually do this ritual, this tradition, take the spices and the cloths and whatever else. And they went together to serve the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that look like for you, too?
Oh, to work with my girlfriends in this? Well,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm looking at one.
Yes,
I mean,
I see.
I'm
see
looking
you,
at
too.
You, and I'm like, I see you. What a gift. I mean, if I try to think about doing this alone, there are moments I feel like, you know, you're doing the work alone. But I've never really been alone. It is one call, one text, one email
yep.
to say, I'm not doing well. I'm really having a hard time. And literally, okay, we're on it. We're praying. We're here. But it is nothing greater than having girlfriends with similar vision, mission, heart for people, for God, for others, a heart for those that are on the outside, for those who are on the margins, for the least of these, people who have a heart to see people's lives transformed, to work alongside, you know, women who are like, no, I'm all in. I want people to know Jesus because he's transformed my life. I want others to. There's nothing greater. I think that's one of the greatest gifts. I think that's going to be what heaven's going to be like.
Yes.
I mean, are we going to work in heaven? But what I mean is, heaven for me would be continuing to do beautiful kingdom work with my girlfriends and celebrating and partying and praying and laughing and doing all the things, you know, that is about life. And so I would say, wow, if you can have girlfriends to join you in this mission of God and his kingdom, amazing.
Yes.
Go for it. Do it. Find it. Pray for it. But, and, you know, and as I think about us, it's like the ideas, I think what's really cool is as we sit and share ideas, it's like God kingdom ideas.
Yes.
Building into women, flourishing, thriving, like that kind of energy towards these kingdom things. It's like there's nothing else like it.
I just want to give some practical examples because I've seen this work. Like, it's spectacular to see groups of friends that serve together. I've seen people go on, I've done it too, gone on impact trips, like internationally together and serve.
Yeah.
In the local church, of course, there's like, whether it's serving a meal together or those that are in need together or just showing up. And I've showed up at people's houses with a group of friends and clean their house for them because that's what they needed in that moment.
Yeah.
Like there's something about serving together. Maybe it's preparing meals and whatever, and sharing that with others. Like whatever it is, there's something about it. We recently had something really difficult where there was a young, very young woman that had a situation that was domestic violence situation. Mm. And my girlfriends and I went pick her up, take her to the place that was like going to take her to a safe home. It just like came around her and loved this one girl. But it was my girlfriends and I that were praying together. It was us that were building this like almost shield around this one little life that had a big need.
Yeah.
But there was something beautiful about doing a kingdom work together. Yeah. Like whatever it looks like, whatever it looks like, it's beautiful.
You know, we're sitting here and like see her love, the show that, you know, I host and that we're working together on, and it's an example of women who have over, you know, 10 seasons now, going into, you know, 11th season, have rallied and supported me in showing up to be guests, panelists, working with me, ideas. You know, couldn't do a show like this without my women girlfriends.
Absolutely.
And women who are like, yeah, we're for this. We want to amplify diverse Canadian voices to share stories that others know they're not alone. That was the heart of me as I steward this, but then women came along and said, yeah, I get that too. I want to share my story. I want women to know that they're not alone. I want women to know that they can get through it. I want women to know that Jesus transforms lives.
Wow.
And that's sort of where I think if I was the ultimate, you know, example for me of like working with women in this work of God, it's what I'm doing now through See Her Love.
That's beautiful. Mm. Thank you for sharing that. This is always, always such a fun time talking with you, chatting with you. I know there is more to come.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.